Can you give him praise? Exalt his name. Lord, we thank you. We magnify your name. We ask tonight that you grant us entrance into your heart. Cause us to look upon you steadfastly until we become that which we see. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. As you turn your Bible to the book of Matthew chapter 6, we will begin a very lengthy teaching on the subject of prayer. Hallelujah. Before we begin, I would like to educate us a little, because in scripture there are types of prayer engagement that sees God as a father. It's a level of prayer that captures God as a father. It's a level of prayer that captures God as a friend. It's a level of prayer that captures God as a judge. And each type of prayer based on these categories has its own knowledge bank that is a basic requirement for engagement, adequate engagement. Because of the wide scope of the subject, maybe we'll begin with the common approach to prayer, and that will be Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. We'll begin the basic level. As you begin this basic level, it is possible that you stumble upon some form of intimacy with God, and on the strength of your intimacy, you can bargain with God, you can negotiate with God, and you will find people that were conscious of their currency of intimacy. You'll find them say stuff like, "If I found grace in thy sight." He's using his intimacy with God as a currency to move the hand of God. If you're still with me, say amen. So all of these levels of prayer have a knowledge back end that you need to be supported with so that you can prosecute prayer at these various levels. So we'll look at the common level, which we see in the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, where we connect with our Father. And it is needful for us to understand that we cannot exhaustively enjoy the provisions that is available to us when we engage God on the fatherhood level. The Bible says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." I tried to educate us on this matter, but I couldn't go very far. So we will begin and we'll see how much we can go. There are 9 lessons in this fatherhood perspective. There are 9 lessons that we need to receive so that we can fully exploit our fatherhood relationship with God. The first thing in this scripture I like us to understand is the kind of father that God is. The kind of father that God is. This scripture is saying that the extent to which we can benefit from the possibilities of prayer is tied to our understanding of God as Father. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallelujah. All right. So, in order for us to know who our Father is, we will need to move to another scripture in order to get a witness from that scripture. It will give us perspective on how to engage. And the other scripture I want to draw our attention to happens to be the book of Matthew chapter 11 from verse 27. Matthew chapter 11 from verse 27. And this is Jesus speaking. If you have a red letter Bible, it should be in red. He said, all things are delivered. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and him to whom soever the Son reveal him. No man knows the Father except the Son. No man knows the Son except the Father. So it is quite strange when you find books like the Quran claiming to know Jesus. It's not consistent. The Quran, anybody that has not had an encounter with the Father cannot know the Son. So you might write something about Jesus from your own perspective, but it doesn't suffice as to what Jesus is, because it's not a revelation that came from the Father. Unfortunately, he spent so many pages writing what is not valid, because the only person that can reveal the Son happens to be the Father. And the only person that can reveal the Father happens to be the Son. So if we are trying to engage the Father in prayer, we will need to understand which Father you are engaging. And as far as the Bible is concerned, the only one that can reveal the Father happens to be the Son. So if we are going to prosper in our enterprise of prayer, we will need to stumble on every revelation that Jesus gave about his Father. He's going to give us a good idea of the Father that we're engaging. Are you still with me? Because no one can reveal the Father except what? The other day, there was one guy, I don't know what religion he was from, but he said that Jesus was a supreme master in his own era. So there were many, there are many supreme masters, many avatars the prophet of the Quran was an avatar in his time. Jesus was an avatar in his time. Who again did he mention? He mentioned quite some people. Buddha was an avatar that brought illumination about the possibilities of the unseen realm. And he was, when he finished his talk, I sat him down. I said, what you are saying here is what you were taught to say. But the Jesus I know is the one that was revealed to me. And I can manifest him. But you cannot manifest any of the things that you read. So my knowledge is practical, is experiential, is based on intimacy, is based on encounter. Your knowledge is cerebral and intellectual. You cannot manifest this knowledge. So it means what I have is superior to yours. What you have is on the soil of your soul. What I have generates from my spirit. I have authority to back up what I'm saying with action. You cannot produce any action to support this. If you can, let us go to the market and look for a blind man. And then we will try. You will use all this knowledge about our avatars, your avatar knowledge. Hallelujah. What we are saying is not what we read in the book. The chartered revelator of the Father had encountered us. He has revealed the Father to us. Hallelujah. It happens that we were privileged to be part of the people that the Son decided to reveal the Father to. So we know the Father through the witness, through the testimony of the Son. We have not just read a book. We have had an encounter with the Son, and he has revealed his Father to us. That's why we are not products of books. All those religions, they thrive by some sacred writings. We have gone beyond Logos into the spirits that gave life, rise to Logos. Oh, I met another one, and that one said, that you see, man existed before any book was written. So if you want to talk about man, don't talk about man with a book, because every other book came after man had existed. So your Bible is a product. Man pre-exists your Bible. Man pre-exists the Quran. Man pre-exists. I said, all right. Before we put the Bible down, let me read a portion of it to you. In the book of John, chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, in the eternal past. Meanwhile, that's the most distant revelation into the past that any man, any mortal was ever given the privilege to see. There was some point in the eternal past where the council of the Godhead sat together. In the beginning, the Bible says, in that eternal past, there was a personality in the Godhead that was called the Word of God. This personality happens to be the compendium of the wisdom and the purposes of God. This personality happens to be the administrative entity that is found in the Godhead. And every knowledge of God must begin with the knowledge of that personality. You cannot know God as God. You can only know God through that personality. And that personality, John told us that he was in custody of the divine life. So even though he became flesh, he became human, but he was functioning with divine life. And what he was doing was advertising God through human virtues. And that man pre-existed creation, that entity, that personality. He pre-existed creation. So don't even bring book. Don't bring your philosophy. Don't bring anything that is based on time. We cannot trust it. This your philosophy is time-based. We can't even trust it. There's something that still existed before. He said, it seems you are making sense. Meanwhile, he used that argument to floor so many people, floor people, and he felt that, okay, another person for him. He got hooked. And then when I preached to him from that point, he said he was a Christian. But when these arguments came, they were so superior to the knowledge of God. You see, he had not met anyone that had encounter with God. He met people that had letters. So it is Jesus that happens to be the chartered personality that can reveal the Father. So if we want to know the Father, because we need to know the Father, because we are engaging God as Father in our enterprise of prayer. Are you here? All right. So my intention this evening is to show us the 9 revelations of the Father that Jesus gave us, which is supposed to give us all the insights that will facilitate our prayer adventure. Are you still with me? All right. Let me read another scripture before I start. Matthew 7. Matthew 7, 7 to 11. This is still Jesus speaking, and Jesus said, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Why? Because everyone that asks receives, everyone that seeks finds, and to everyone that knocketh it shall be open. I don't want to press here. Not today. We will press on this subsequently when we have time to press on it. He said, ask. If Jesus never said that, you will not know that that provision existed. Ask and you shall receive. Seek, you shall find. This is supposed to be a scripture that is given to us to encourage us, to tell us that there's profit in spiritual adventure. There's profit. You will find it. Right? But the point is, you need to know how to ask. You need to know how to seek. You need to know how to knock. If you do something that is equivalent to asking, you will receive. If you do something that is equivalent to seeking, you will find. If you do something that is equivalent to knocking, it shall be opened unto you. Because in the spirit, it has been articulated that everyone that asks receives. Everyone that seeks finds, and to everyone that knocketh, it shall be open. We'll come to that subsequently. Yes, next verse. Or what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread will give him a stone? Or if he asks fish will give him a serpent? He's asking, is there any kind of man that if your son comes to you to ask of bread, you give him a stone? Huh? Have you seen such a man? Have you ever seen a man that if his son comes to ask him for fish, he gives him a serpent? I know you have not seen such a man. All right. It means that as men, we tried here. Huh? However, next verse is my emphasis. If then ye, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. You see, you are not with me. You are lost again. Now, this is a scripture that affords us the opportunity to have a common ground of comparison between our own model of fatherhood compared to God's model of fatherhood, according to comparison. Because someone here might say, okay, I'm a father too. And because I'm a father, it will give me an insight into the kind of father God is. This scripture is here to prove you wrong. According to this scripture, your own model of fatherhood, as good as it may be, because your son will not come to you to ask for fish and you give him a serpent. Your son will not come to you to ask for bread and you give him a stone. So you might call your model of fatherhood good. Okay? But compared to God, your model of fatherhood is evil. And your being evil doesn't prevent you from giving good gifts unto your children. It means that your model is no example that will give you enlightenment about the kind of father that God is. Meanwhile, you evil people, in your practice of fatherhood, give good gifts to your children. But how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? So he's just trying to make you understand that. Don't put your own fatherhood and the fatherhood of God on the same level. We have more chances with God than with you. We have much more chances with God than with a human father. Because compared to God, we are evil. Did you get this point? All right, that's why we need to tune to Jesus for him to give us insight into the kind of father that God is. And throughout the lecture, we'll find an occasion to engage our father in prayer. Are you with me? All right. Okay, go back to Matthew chapter 6. We'll begin from verse 5. Matthew 6, verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. The first possibility that Jesus is unveiling here that can exist in prayer is what he calls a prayer hypocrite. Is it a labor not to be in the category of a prayer hypocrite? When you pray, what? Thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the street. The hypocrite has two platforms. One is called the anointed. You know, the Bible is prophetic. This Bible. Let's try again. I said the hypocrite has two platforms. One is called what? Synagogue. Then the other one is the corner of the street. May the Lord give you understanding. We have to identify the prayer hypocrite. Because the prayer hypocrite is not an example of one that is praying accurately to a father. But you soon find out. The burden of the hypocrite is that he must be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. Can you underline reward, please? If your Bible is not borrowed, can you underline reward? Sister, how are you? What's your name? Jacinta. When you pray, what do you want? When you engage prayer, is it not that you want an answer, a response from God? So you are praying for the purpose of getting answers. According to this scripture, there is a difference between prayer answered and prayer rewarded. In fact, this scripture is an advocate for prayer rewards, not even answers. You are not with me. And the hypocrite is excluded from the possibility of rewards, prayer rewards. Meanwhile, the hypocrite can get prayers answered. When we begin, you know, these simple topics, we need to teach them again and again and again. This plain, simple prayer. This journey we are going, you will find a few things that will make you accurate. So that your prayer enterprise will become an enterprise of delight. You can, like me now, I know the Father. I know him. Because part of what Jesus does is that he reveals his Father to you. So that the possibility of a deeper intimacy that is the basis of the victorious faith, all right, can rise from within your spirit. There is a level to which you know the Father that will affect your faith life. It will affect your possibility life. And those journeys in intimacy are not open to hypocrites. Remember, the hypocrite has two platforms. Which was the first one? Synagogue. Second thing about the hypocrite is that he is excluded from prayer rewards, even though he can get prayer answered. Because the Bible says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a what? Not an answerer, but what? You must believe that. So there are rewards that are associated with prayer. Now, imagine. This is Pastor Dan, okay? If I'm praying for Pastor Dan in my closet, and you really need a prayer reward, it means that I should never walk up to Pastor Dan and say, you know, we are praying for you. The moment I say that, I've received my reward. My prayers can be answered in his life, but my enterprise of prayer labor in his life is designed to also bring me into the realm of rewards. Because when I'm laboring for Pastor Dan and he doesn't even know, it's a closed circuit. And it's only God that is aware of my actions. He might even find some breakthrough around his life. He might think it's his prayer. And I'm not quick to go give him insight that we labored for him. That kind of a secluded enterprise can only be rewarded directly by God, because there's no way I can profit from engaging God on his behalf. Are you with me? You are not with me. I will keep saying it until you get it. Because the first danger that Jesus unveils in this prayer enterprise to the Father is, don't become a hypocrite. So in a place like this where we pray, we need to bring quality control into our operations, lest you will have access to answers, but few of us will tap into rewards. When you begin to walk with God and God begins to walk with you, you will know that there are several things God begins to do in your life. There is no prayer you could have formulated that would have been prayer enough for you to enter into those dimensions that God is now unleashing upon your life. It is obviously a reward, not an answer to any prayer. So deep men in the spirit that are not hypocrites are actually seeking for rewards for prayer, not answers to prayer. Even though answers to prayer are wonderful, but there's something higher than that. It's called what? Rewards for prayer. Somebody met me sometime. I think we were in the waiting lounge at the airport. And he said, Pastor. He wants to ask me one question. What was the price I paid before God now considered me to be eligible for the kind of authority he has given me? Because today, knowledge is in buttons. Buttons for people to press, you know, so that if they can press the same buttons, they get the same. We're in the computer age. Even in spiritual things, people believe it's just buttons. But Jesus is saying, make sure you are not a hypocrite. Because if you are not a hypocrite, you will be eligible for rewards. Please help me tell your neighbor, there are rewards in the spirit. God can reward you with a husband, just one husband. And after 20 years, you will know that it is not your prayer that produced this man. Something happened. And, that's vice versa. God can just give you a wife. And after 5 years of living with that woman, you say, this is a reward. This is not an answer to prayer. But most of you, when it is time to get married, you are seriously praying and trusting God for answers in that area. There's something better than answers. Reward. And Jesus is saying, if you are a hypocrite, you are excluded from the possibility of being rewarded. If you got that, say amen.
Amen.
All right, next verse. Now he's given us the prescription. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, makaita komelai, enter into thy closet. Then you shut the door. That is Jesus' recommended practice for prayer. So help me. What is the location of the closet Jesus spoke about? Closet. Because you can be in the marketplace and you can be in the closet. There is a technology of shutting the world out so that you are standing alone with Jesus. Just like it was for Adam when he was in the Garden of Eden. And God visited him in the cool of the day. It was secluded. It was designed just for two. You can be in a public place, but you are cut off from the public. What is happening there doesn't matter to you. You are in the closet. Do you realize practicing the closet is a very strong act of discipline? Because you might think the closet is in closing the door. Okay, there are times when you practice that. But if you are somebody that is on the move, maybe you are a public servant that I used to be, you need to learn the second level of closet. How you can secure that closet environment in a multitude. And you cut off from what the multitude is crazy about. And you are standing alone in your heart with God. I get sucked from the environment and I get sucked into the presence of God in the multitude. It's a practice. And that's the practice that Jesus prescribes for praying people. You will need to know how to enter into the closet of your heart and shut the door from the environment. It's a discipline that you will need to cultivate if you are going to engage profitably with your Father. Now, so in order for us to understand that closet and the door prescription, that's a lecture for one day, right? We'll take that. It's a lecture. And then I show you some principles you need to engage. And because many times when you are trying to engage, even if you close the door, of the room, the door of your heart is still open, and yogurt can enter, and many things can find expression. Even a damn cell you saw in the night can enter there, and the damn cell can be so real in the heart. The door of the heart is open, but the closet door is shut. The damn cell is dancing inside the membrane of the heart, and is, oh my God, you will not see God under such circumstances. May the Lord give you understanding.
Amen.
He said, enter thy closet and shut the door. Then Jesus now reveals something about his Father, which I'd like to consolidate upon. That will be our take home for the night. And thy Father, which is in secret, that's number one. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, that's number two. First revelation of our Father is that you will only find him in secret because he is in secret. So if you don't know how to shut the door, if you don't know how to enter into the closet, you might never have any encounter with thy Father because he is in secret and he what? He seeth in secret. So in this scripture, Jesus had given us two insight about our Father. Meanwhile, the reason why we are studying our Father is not because of our Father. We are studying our Father so that we can know how to engage prayer more accurately. So the thing, are you with me? Are you with me? Now, I need to draw your attention quickly because my time is going. Thy Father is in secret, and thy Father does what? See it in secret. Where our Father is and how our Father sees is what Jesus unveils in this presentation. So my first question to you is this. In view of the fact that our Father sees in secret, what sort of a prayer man ought you to be? Because if we are engaging God as Father, we need to be engaging him with all the attributes concerning him that are revealed in the word of Jesus. You're not with me? Are you seeing the purpose of this our study at all? Okay, our Father sees in secret, but when he wants to reward, he will reward you openly. I don't want to go into the reward protocol. Reward you openly. You can be doing business with him in the secret. When he wants to reward, you say, because I've seen a lot of that. Meanwhile, I'm not trying to present myself as a sample to you. It is something that if you engage yourself, you will have results yourself. So let me remove myself from the matter. However, it is still right for me to tell you that I have seen results in this matter. I don't want to go into it. Before you say I came to preach myself this evening. Our Father sees in secret. So how is that supposed to affect your prayer prosecution process? Number one. Are you there? Your true altar is not your mouth. Your true altar is your heart. That's where God sees. So a man can be wicked in his heart and he comes to say the right things in front of us here. We will call it prayer. But our Father that sees in secret excludes him from response. Since our Father sees in secret, the state of your heart is very critical. Anything that will compromise the state of your heart is going to compromise your possibilities in the place of prayer. Our Father that sees in secret, there are some challenges that can happen. Because I know he sees in secret, I will not come here. I will just call and say, can you just say anything? Go there and say anything. The reason is because I can come here, and because I'm an experienced preacher, I can always find one or two things to say and you'll be blessed. But you see, the one that sees in secret, he will still use me to bless you. But my quarrel with him is still existing. So if you don't make that Father your number one audience, you will become a stage manager, become a showbiz expert, and you'll be blessing people, but you are not in right standing with your Father. You know a calabash, the whole one and the broken one, they are all useful. The whole one, you can use it to drink water, drink kuno. The one that is broken, you use it to pack debt, but it's still very useful. Are you with me? Very useful. Me, I want to be whole. Because even if you fall, even if you are fake, we will still use you as an example of fake people. And you will still be walking. We say, that man is fake. Oh. So at least we have an example of a fake man. You are still helping us. But at least we can see an example of a fake man. Yeah. So if you are going to walk with God, you are going to be useful. At every point, you will be a useful personality. Hallelujah. Your heart is critical. God was trying to teach Samuel the prophet a few lessons. He said, men look on the outward. But I, God, I look on the heart. It's from the altar of your heart that God picks your prayer. It's precipitated like desires. That's where he picks it, not what you say. Because it's possible for your heart to be far from God and then your mouth is saying something else. So you cannot deceive God on such matters because he sees. The other day, one pastor came to me in the office and said, Jehovah has sent him to me. I said, we have been waiting. We have been waiting for you. He's been in ministry for 14 years And last week, Jehovah appeared to him and said, he's supposed to follow me. I said, oh my God, we are looking for Hans. Then I called him to go to call Chief Don. I should draw up a 6 months prayer bulletin for him to engage. This is the fourth year. He's here to resume. It is because of people like that that our Father sees his secret. So he doesn't take such people seriously. We are still waiting for him to report. Meanwhile, say Jehovah appear. Maya Kocha Mahika Santo. We are still waiting for him to report on the prayer floor. Meanwhile, it's just 6 months that we gave him. 6 months. Stretch yourself. Night and day, 6 months. You do 6 hours. Do 6 hours. Do 6 hours. Like that for 6 months. When you succeed for 6 months, we'll give you the right hand of fellowship. But we have prayer needs here. We don't do magic. So it's prayer we pray that God answers, that we move ahead as a ministry. We value prayer here. So you will contribute 6 months of prayer. Six in the daytime, six in the night. We're still waiting for him too. We have no magic wand for ministry. Our magic wand is prayer. The greatest blessing you can do to us, you can be to us, is take some of our prayer burdens. It's huge. So even if you want to learn how to connect cables here, you will pray in the process. You want to do Bible school here, you will pray, Lord. You want to scrub the floor, you will pray. We'll give you a location. Because the burden is enormous. Day and night labor. So we say, you do 6 months. And then you'll be initiated. He has not reported. This is the 40. The other day we had a big meeting. It was so big. God moved. And I was in the office. People joined the line here. They wanted to come and see me. So I was walking to enter the office. I saw him on the line. I said, are you? I thought you had gone abroad. You are here. He now left the line and left. Men look on the outward. But God looks on that. So in view of this, you will need to keep your heart with all diligence. Because that's the platform where your Father will come to seek to smell the incense of your life. Hallelujah. If you know this truth, you will not be so much in a hurry to show people your spiritual capacity. We did some fasting, dry. And then we wanted to end it with a conference. So a minister came from London. And he feels that the man that is praying is the man that is united. Meanwhile, the reason why we couldn't do that was because we had no strength. We just came from the mountain. And we're high in spirit. But he couldn't discern where we were standing. Because he felt if we are praying, we should be shaking. And I knew I was in the wrong place. In my weakness, I crawled out. Because it's not for people that are in secret. You can come and maybe you are blasting a lot of tongues. And the person that is sitting so quietly is the one communing with heaven. If you prioritize the emphasis of your heart, if you prioritize it, you will always connect with God. Always connect with God. Always connect with God. In your sleep, you will connect with God. Connect with God. Hallelujah. Yesterday night, I'm still trying to download what God was telling me. Because if God really wants to speak to me, he comes like a human being and he sits by my bedside when I'm sleeping. If I wake up small like this, I'll see him sitting. But I'll be so weak, I'll sleep. And he'll be talking to me, I'll be here. It was you he spoke about yesterday, Smith. Spoke about Smith for 30 minutes, where he was taking him to. I was now wondering, I've never seen Smith in a vision. I wasn't thinking about Smith. But he came and was telling me about Smith. Till the heart prepared. And if anybody wants to make your heart turbulent. Don't accept it. You can actually engage people and they insult you, and you refuse to allow a touch here. That's where he said, keep it with all diligence. Transmission that will come from your father will always land at that airport. Make sure the airport, the runway is not sterilized. Let it be open for traffic. After speaking about Smith, and I was wondering. Spoke so many things. Showed me where he's taking it. Wow. When he finished that, he started showing me two rivers. It was when I woke up that I found it is two trips I'm going to make this year. It's a journey. It's another journey. So I'm still praying to understand those two. Then he now showed me gold. That's the third matter. I said, this thing is gold. I woke up when I was in the interface. I was still seeing him. He was sitting there. And I turned my head to see him properly. It was not there. Gold. I don't know what he meant by that gold anyway. But the one I still remember is the journey of Mr. Smith here. If the heart, you know, sometimes when we are about to land into Abuja Airport, a dignitary is coming. They will sterilize the airway. So the pilot will have to be going around to wait for those people to finish. Maybe those protocol people, when they finish before, they say, okay, it's open for traffic. Your heart must not be sterilized. So if you are going to engage a father that sees in secret, then you will take the issues of your heart seriously. In my study of the Bible, I found that there are 13 postures of the human heart, and only one is accurate. But there are 13 possible postures that your heart can sustain. Your heart is as sublime. Your heart is like a moeba. It can take any shape. Circumstances can even affect the shape that your heart takes, if you allow it. Are you with me? If you check the way God created in the physical, you find every organ that has to do with the issue of life is protected by some bones. The brain is protected by the skull. Your heart and your lungs protected by the ribs. Your spinal cord is protected by the vertebral column. But for the heart, which is an organ for your spiritual life, there is no burglary. It's a you keep it. Because out of it are the issues of life. There is a song we used to sing those days in the old revival. I've forgotten the wordings. I'll try. Open my heart. Open my soul until we understand. Okay, no, this one is Chris Delvan that sang this one. There is another old one we used to sing about the heart. These people were in the old revival now. There's a heart, one popular song about the heart. I would like us to sing it this night. In the 80s, we took heart. Most of our songs were heart-based because people really had intercourse with God. The heart was a matter. Those were the days where you heard sermons, you heard teachings about the heart. You will hear how that Solomon did not follow with a perfect heart. And because his heart was not perfect in followership, he now loves strange women. Okay. Lord Jesus, come in today. Come in to stay. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. There were many songs we sang those days that were heart-based. But today in the body of Christ, we sing about fire. We sing about fire. Glory. Meanwhile, there's none of that glory that you are going to encounter without a heart that is not diligently cultivated. is the root of all engagement, is the root of all engagement in the business of the Spirit. I want to use this teaching as a means of bringing back some of our old values that was responsible for growing some of the strongest Christians that could survive most vicious adversities orchestrated by Satan. There were men that could cultivate the heart, because that's where the business is done. Your Father seeth in secret, and he will reward you openly. I preached many times, and the Holy Ghost was grieved because I said something, and many miracles still took place. And people wondered, what powerful man was this? I went home brokenhearted to look for him and say, can we discuss this matter? If you lose focus, lose sight of your heart, you will become a ninja and you will not know. When you see some mafia moves that pastors can conveniently take, make, and edge people out, you will know that even though he knows prayer, he only knows prayer answered, he is not a candidate for the rewards that come from prayer. The heart is no longer emphasized. For instance, the average lady doesn't understand that her beauty is going to move from her face to her heart in old age. Doesn't know. He's looking for foundation for the face. I'm not saying stop using it. I'm just saying know that your true beauty can never hang on that face. Okay. Your true beauty can never hang there. By the time you get married, your husband will get used to how your face looks like. And your face can't move him. But if a heart of grace is behind that face, even if he quarrels, say, hey, before in the, he will look for a way to compensate it. Because grace is speaking. Grace is speaking. True beauty cannot hang on the face. It hangs on the heart. The ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in to stay. Come in today. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. In to my heart. Into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, come in to stay, come in today, come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. The ancients, they taught us something. They say, if you find a song, are you with me? That heart is in it, and you find, and Jesus is in it. These two things, it will take you on a trip inside. But today you sing about fire. No. Go deeper. Come in. Today, come in to stay, come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in to stay, come in today, come in. To my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in,
coming to stay, coming today, coming to my heart, Lord Jesus.
If you cultivate your heart diligently, you will find wisdom, not just for yourself, for your community, for your nation. Being in power, for instance, is a curse if you don't have wisdom. There are some states in this country, I'm wondering why somebody will say he's the governor of that state when he's totally devoid of wisdom. The activities in the place happen without him, and he will still be talking on the microphone. Oh, if you cultivate your heart. If you cultivate it, that's where he sees. That's where reverence is born. And he sees that you reverence him in there. He will come to you in the night.
Coming to stay. Coming today, coming to my heart, Lord Jesus.
Coming,
coming to stay, coming today, coming to my heart, Lord Jesus.
Come in.
Come in to stay. Come in today. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Into my heart. Into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, come in to stay, come in today, come in to my heart. Lord Jesus.
Now what you just did is what we call heart cultivation. So it's easy for you to interface with the Father now. If he speaks, you will hear. Most of you enter into his presence. You won't speak. You didn't cultivate the inner membrane. There was no cultivation. A time comes when after cultivation, as they are speaking the words, they are strong. They are strong. You can feel it. It means you cultivated adequately. So the Spirit of God is riding on your utterance and making them appear in heaven. Oh,
coming to stay. Coming today. Coming to my heart, Lord Jesus. Coming to stay, coming today, coming to my heart, Lord Jesus.
When you begin to take your heart serious, then the love of God is shed abroad your heart by the Holy Ghost. And it will be difficult for you to offend Jesus because you have something with him. The love of God happens to be what constrains us, what keeps us in government, what keeps us in right standing with God, because we are not willing to offend him. We know the experience of the revelation of the love of God. This is what I do in the closet before I come to preach. People say I'm powerful. I break down before him. Then he will look at me. Sorry. I will open the ears of the deaf. If you have relationship, you can get anything else. You can get power. You can get wisdom. For the Father seeth in secret. Oh my. Oh my. Having known this, can you speak to him from your heart? Learn how to talk to him without speaking words from your mouth. Don't say anything from your mouth. Just use your heart to talk. Use your heart to talk. Talk from your heart to him. If you are really doing what I say you should do, you shouldn't be looking at the preacher. If you are looking at the preacher, it means you are not practicing. Talk to him from inside. You will find that your heart has a vocal chamber. There's a vocal cord there. In Jesus' name, look at me. What you just did now is you shut the door. That's the practicality of shutting, going into a closet. Shutting the door. Your heart has a room, an exclusive chamber where you can stand with him. All right? If you don't cultivate it, you will not know there's a room. And in that place, the utterances that flow from there flow through the rings of your heart. It's the purest form of intercourse. And that's where he picks your desires from. There is a room there. There is a room there. That's where I meet him. When I've met him there, I can come to the crusade ground and shout hallelujah. That one that I met in the privacy of that environment, he will come out in the open to defend every discussion we had there. Oh my. Oh my. Oh me. If we push this service for 5 more minutes, he will come here. Because we have spoken in that place. There is a room where only you can stand. Right there in your heart. Come in to stay. Come in today. Come in to my heart. Lord Jesus. It will start becoming real to you. Because he will begin to show you his shape and his form. It will be so real that you can cry. You have shut the door. What is happening from within you, not from outside of you. And it grows with intensity. And if you have known him in that inner chamber, that inner place, the secret and the inward parts, if you have known him there, there is nothing that happens on the outside that will be strong enough to break you. No. We live from inside. We live from inside. You can survive any storm if your heart relationship with him is alive. Amen. To stay. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Tonight we ask that you will suck us into our hearts and give us the sensitivity that is needed for us to discern your movements in that inner chamber. When you strip yourself and you show us your form and your shape,
cause our spiritual eyes to behold the splendor, the glory, and to know that heaven and earth can pass away, but that glory will remain forever. Lead us and reveal yourself in the secret and inward parts, that our faith in you might be strengthened, that our confidence in you might be renewed, that we might have what it takes to stand before the enemy and say, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.